It's lovely to have Wendy Bagnall back with me. We talked, I think it was about, it must be nearly a year ago now. And today I just wanted to see where you are today and what's changed for you. I think we last time we talked, you were talking about maybe thinking about going full time. Has that happened or what are you doing now?
No, it hasn't yet. I'm in a bit of a funny phase, I would say, at the minute. I'm doing a lot of reflecting, which is a good thing, I think. I started to explore whether or not I would do workshops. I've had people ask me if I would do workshops. And I'm still on the fence about it. I still haven't quite decided. I think partly because I think I'm a bit concerned that if I start doing workshops, will I be... Not will I do less photography, yeah, potentially do less photography, but for me, the photography is just photography. You know, it's nothing else. It doesn't really, yes, I get the odd thing, like I wrote an article, Outdoor Photography Magazine approached me and asked me if I'd do something for them. And I've got a camera club talk on Wednesday, which is a bit nerve-wracking. So I'm doing that on Wednesday. Other than that, you know, photography is just photography for me. And if I just kind of worry a little bit sometimes that if I go into doing things that take up a lot more time with it, is it going to detract from how much I enjoy it? So I'm just kind of processing and reflecting at the moment about what I want the photography to be. Still very fortunate I have a lot of flexibility with the job that I do, so it doesn't really interfere with me being able to photograph really when I want to most of the time, especially because most of my photography is quite local and I like it being quite local. I have done a bit. We did have a trip to Iceland, but that was a family trip. But obviously, of course, I took my camera. But I think, as you will know, you go somewhere completely new. You can't just get your head in the space for photography on that first visit. So it's more of a scouting thing and a bit of a play about, which I did really enjoy. I immediately saw the landscape in black and white. It's a very black and white landscape. So I did a series of black and white images from there. And I've been up to the Isle of Harris, came up with my husband. My daughter was on a school trip, so it was great. My father-in-law actually lives in Scotland, but we didn't tell him we were going. So we had to kind of sneak up without seeing him. So I have been away a bit. But yeah, so I'm just in this, I don't know, I just feel like I'm in a little bit of a funny phase at the moment, doing a lot of reflecting about where I want to go with it and what I want it to be.
That's totally valid, isn't it? Because, yeah, I can see what you're struggling with there. If you enter photography full time, then what does that entail? What does that mean that you then have to earn an income from it? And then is that income earning?
Yeah.
Things that you do, does that take you away from the things that you love about photography at the moment, which is creating? So
yeah.
I totally understand where you are with that. And I think what's really important is to do that reflecting, isn't it? Because yeah. I think at the moment I'm in the same place. I'm taking a pause and thinking, what is it I want to do? And I suppose a bigger picture as well. I was listening to a podcast by Stephen Bartlett. I love Stephen Bartlett's podcast. I don't know if you listen to it, The Diary of a CEO, and he was talking to Deepak Chopra, and it was quite it was a very deep podcast, but he was saying that everybody should take a little bit of time every day to consider who they are and what they want, and probably something else that was a little bit deeper than that. But the idea was every day think about what it is you want and what it is you where you want to be. And it's very easy, isn't it, to get onto that treadmill and just to keep going without stopping and thinking, what is it? Why am I doing this? And is it giving me joy? So I suppose what I'm trying to say is I understand what you're saying there, and what does that look like as a professional photographer as opposed to just a creative?
You know, I've been thinking quite a lot. I've been reading bits and pieces about photography generally, and I find photography an interesting space. My photography, I think, sort of almost lends itself more to sort of painterly art, the style of my photography. And I am starting to see more of that style on Instagram, definitely. And obviously, it's a self-perpetuating cycle, isn't it? Because you share your work, and then other people see it, and other people share their work, and you see it, and so on and so forth. And so those sort of different approaches to photography and different styles of photography really grow. And my Instagram is really, it's not completely focused just on landscape photography and landscape photographers, but it is predominantly. And if you were to go somewhere like the Photographers Gallery in London, for example, and some of the other galleries, and you look at the sort of photography that's exhibited, it's much more political, it's much more societal. And I don't want to say it's more fashionable, but it is kind of more fashionable. You know, it's you kind of look at what's catching people's eye. And that's the thing with art over. I had a friend over the other day and we went out for a good walk and a good natter, and she's an artist, she's an oil painter. And we were talking about this and I said, do you find the same in sort of the art world on the painting side? And she said, yes, absolutely. And I said, I said, one of the things I'm feeling a bit frustrated with is I feel like, for want of a better word, pretty photography isn't always valued as much. And I sort of get it because there isn't a big political statement behind it. But then I also think there is a big political statement behind it, because it's really about the environment and connecting with the environment and how important the environment is to us as an organic species within the landscape, and B, as from a mental health perspective, which we all talk about a lot. And the environment and mental health are massive issues in the world right now, massive issues. I've been going out less with the camera, but still spending a lot of time in my head with my thoughts about photography. And I'm just sort of trying to work out where I am with it right now, where I'm going with it. And I'm not trying to force it too much. But I do feel quite passionate about this idea that I think all types of photography should have their place. And they do to some extent. You know, I'm being a bit generalist. But yeah, I do think that certain genres of photography, certain styles of photography have got much, they sort of have much more wall space, shall we say, in the photography world.
I'm completely understanding exactly what you mean there. I think the world that I live in, it's slightly different in that my exposure and my awareness of this is very limited, or maybe I consciously limit it now. I don't know. It's probably just geographical location, to be honest with you. I don't get out seeing these exhibitions like you do, and I don't pay so much attention to them either, but I know that that exists. I understand completely what you're saying. And you took me straight back to my university days when I was creating pretty landscapes, which were very, very deep felt. And they were very important to me, but they were instantly dismissed because, yes, they weren't making any statements. They weren't trendy. There was a trend even back then where, yeah, this kind of grittier, more conceptual were more accepted and more upheld than a simple landscape. So I understand what you're saying. And now I suppose at the moment, the world that I live in, I don't have those conflicts anymore because I've just removed them from my mind. I know they're there. So I do understand that. And I do agree with you wholeheartedly that being outdoors and well-being is as important as any political statement or whatever that is out there, because it affects pretty much every one of us, doesn't it, in some way. I think, you know, well-being, mental or physical, doesn't matter, being outdoors, every single person needs to be encouraged and to see beautiful work uplifts people.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, what where work ends up. So this morning I had somebody drop me an email. I posted something on Instagram, haven't posted for a few days, and they contacted me and said, oh, I'm really interested in your post this morning, and are you interested in what are your print prices, which was lovely. You know, it's always really lovely when that happens. And so my work is something that I always see subconsciously as much as anything else. Whenever I'm processing or looking at making a piece, I'm always thinking about how it's going to hang on a wall, how it's going to fit on the wall, kind of thing. And a lot of the work I see sometimes in galleries isn't something that a lot of people would put on their walls. So I think there is that side of it. But then I don't know, I'm trying not to get too tied up in knots about it, because at the end of the day, I don't want to go and, I don't know, photograph a crisp packet blowing along the pavement. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that and that people shouldn't do that, and that is definitely has its space as well. But I can't change what pulls me just because it doesn't necessarily feel like it's what's currently fashionable in photography. I have seen some beautiful photography that you put on the wall, but even then I think it's more stills photography, you know, more kind of still life and quite choreographed with lighting, you know, indoors, florals and things. But I'm thinking this summer I'll probably try and do something. I've got an idea in my head of a little project I'm going to try and do, just because I haven't really done much since February.
Well, I'm thinking when you're talking, I'm in that same phase, and I'm struggling a little bit at the moment, actually. And I wonder if it's just overload of photography, or I wonder if it's not quite enough for me anymore. So I don't like to say this, but I'm always a little bored of photography as it stands. So I love photography. I suppose the longer that you're in it, you can get a little jaded with things. So some of the technical conversations and the kit questions and all of this. And yeah, it's starting to kind of grate on me a little bit. And maybe it's just overexposure. And sometimes I think that, do we just need a bit of time away from it to come back to the love of it? Or do we move on a little bit and expand? I feel like I want to expand. I'm expanding into painting because, as you pointed out, your images are very painterly. Mine are as well. And that line between creativity, it interests me. I don't think we need to be just photographers. At the moment, I'm enjoying much more painting and writing and video content, I suppose. I'm really enjoying doing those sort of forms. Yeah. And the photography, I'm not enjoying as much. Or maybe it's just that I've just done quite a lot of it lately and I need a break from it, or I need to find a different way forwards. I don't know. But I'm in that place as well.
I feel like at the minute I would say we'd quite like to step away from Instagram a little bit. I'm not the kind of person that feels like I have to post something new every single day, but sometimes I feel like the audience is wondering what the next piece is going to be. Or, you know, I do sometimes share, I mean, the one I shared this morning is one from last autumn and I've shared it before. So I'm feeling a bit sort of like you get that visual bombardment, don't you, when you look at social media and you look at other people's images, and then I start to go, oh, that's very similar. And then that sort of makes me question, well, where's my individuality going if everything else is starting to blend in and other people's work is starting to look very similar, or my work might be starting to look similar to somebody else's because I've just discovered them and gone, oh gosh, look at that. But I think that's probably true of most artistic genres, isn't it? You know, even sculpture and pottery as well as painting and things. So I think I need to just try and park that in the back of my head and carry on and get on with what I'm doing. But I think also what you were saying about becoming bored with photography, I'm not bored with it, but I do feel a little bit like all of that challenge I've had for the past year. So because obviously I do quite a lot of multiple exposures and ICM and mixing those kind of two techniques together. And for me specifically, it's all in camera. So I don't bring it into Photoshop and blend layers there, which I know some people do. And again, that's not a criticism of that. That might be something I might do in the future. I feel like I've reached a bit of a plateau with the challenge level of it. So I might look at something and go, oh, that would make a lovely photograph. I could do this, that, and the other. But it's almost come to me too quickly. I'm not having to think about it too much, even though it's caught my eye and even though it interests me. You know, maybe after we've got a bit of busy time at home at the moment. Everyone in the family's got something going on. So I'm sure that probably plays into it a little bit as well. Yeah, I feel like I'm rambling a little bit, but I think that's a reflection of where my mind is at. You know, it's just a bit, I keep being pulled in different directions, what I'm thinking. But funny you were saying about the painting. I have never done painting. never been an artist in that respect. I did A-level textiles at school because I didn't think I was any good at art, or I think I probably would have done art. But I'm actually going to do a one-day oil painting course later this year, because I look at some of my work and think, oh, it'd be really good to kind of consider a sort of mixed media approach of how I can take the photography and then develop it further, take a piece and develop it further and work with other media with it. So it's a seed of an idea. No idea if it's going to work. No idea if I'll actually enjoy it, if I'll actually do it or take it further. But at the minute, I'm feeling like I want to bring in more challenge. Maybe it's the desire to want the final piece to be completely unique. Does that make sense? And maybe for me that is being driven by the fact I'm seeing lots of things on social media that all just look, it's all starting to blend together a bit too much. Maybe that makes me feel like I'm losing my photographic identity, because I do still get people that say to me, your work has a style and it's identifiable as yours. I don't know. I think maybe it's just blending a bit too much with other things I'm seeing. In all honesty, Margaret, I haven't worked out yet what it is that's troubling me. So I'm just trying different things and doing different things to try and get to the bottom of it.
I love that you're talking about this, because I think that a lot of people are going through these things and not talking about it. I think that you're very intelligent and you're very questioning and you're very thoughtful. So therefore, you're naturally going to do this. Whereas if you weren't any of those things, you would just keep creating, you know. So it's great that you've got all those things going on. And I'm the same. And I think we're always wanting to push boundaries, maybe just slightly further, and go out into that sort of more exciting, uncomfortable zone of creating in a new way. Maybe that's just part of it. Maybe as we grow, we want to go into new ways exploring creativity. I love conversations around things like self-compassion and self-love and perfectionism. All of these things are quite deep. When I say I get bored with photography, I'm not bored with photography. I'm bored with the conversations of photography that are very much standard, if you see what I mean. We hear that over and over again. They can be often very superficial and often very technical, and it all sounds very similar. Whereas for me, I'm excited by the sort of new conversation that we can have about creativity, and I'm excited about the new ways of exploring it. So, but one of the things that just came to my head when you were talking, when you said your work's maybe starting to look, feel a bit similar to what you're seeing out there, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's because of the huge rise in ICM work that's been shown.
There's a lot, yeah, there is. But not just ICM, but ICM and multiple exposure.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, I was not the first to do ICM or multiple exposure. You know, and obviously these things, it doesn't mean that it wasn't there and it didn't exist in a more pervasive way, and I just hadn't found it on social media. But I'd come across Joe Stevens' work and Valda Bailey's work early on, and that was it when it came to multiple exposure. And I do think that my multiple exposure style is different to theirs, but now I'm just starting to see lots of it. It's probably not lots in comparison to, say, more classic landscapes. I sound like I'm criticising that or criticising other people for doing it. Absolutely not, because that's what drew me and that's what pulled me in. And maybe people that are doing that are doing it because they've been searching for something different or more challenging. I don't know. Maybe you can't be individual in art. I don't know. I can't think of a single photographer who I've seen, whether it's a street photographer from the 1950s or a landscape photographer in the present day, whether it's an abstract or a sort of more classic landscape photographer, there are overlaps, aren't there, all the way through, where this photographer's work is very similar to this one, or this one is inspired by this one. So maybe you can't get away from it, but I'm just feeling a bit of a loss of, I don't know, a bit of a loss of identity or a bit of a lack of challenge, or maybe I've just spent too much time looking at Instagram and I need to turn it off for a couple of months. I love Instagram as well. You know, I love, it's just a great little community of people that you chat to. I mean, even things, you know, even chat to people about things that are not photographic related. I feel like the last conversation we had was really flowy and buoyant about my approach and my style and everything. And now I'm sitting here, I feel like I sound a bit, like I say, a bit confused and a bit muddled in my own head. But that's because I am a bit confused and a bit muddled in my own head at the moment.
But that's okay. It's good to hear, actually, because there's a lot of people that are. It helps you understand that we go through times like this, don't we? And yeah. I'm going through a time like this as well, in a different way, I think. So it's just kind of like a pause and then go, actually, let's work this out. I do understand where you're particularly coming from, because I've been feeling that with the volume of ICM and multiple exposure images that we're seeing now, and probably because you're following those accounts, you're seeing more than somebody else who isn't following those accounts. So you're feeling like there's a lot out there. But to be honest with you, I'm feeling like there's a lot out there. It's come into trend, hasn't it? And it's a kind of a, things go up and down, don't they? And things catch on. And it's great because it's beautiful. It's a lovely way of photographing. But there's now suddenly a lot of people doing it. So I can understand you questioning, you know, what is it you're doing? And I think, you know, you'll find your way. You find your way forwards, and you'll find your way through thinking this through and through being able to have discussions like this. I think you'll be absolutely fine in one way or the other, and you'll move on and you'll develop in your own way. So it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because I've struggled with that. I've said this loads of times on the podcast, actually. Every time I've had somebody on talking about ICM, I've said I don't understand it. I want to understand it more. When you explain an image, you can't explain it by saying it's an ICM, because it's to me, it's the same as me saying you have to explain any other image that's not an ICM. It's got to have some meaning or some thought behind it for it to be a powerful image. Whereas I think there's a lot of people at the moment just explaining it, well, it's an ICM. That's it. And it was like, no, there's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be more to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me, it was, I think, I actually do more multiple exposure than ICM. I very rarely do a straight ICM image. In fact, I can't even think of any there, certainly that have gone into the portfolio that are just straight ICM. And by doing them with multiple exposure as well, I do find that more challenging and find that I can make it how I want it to be in terms of more abstract and less literal and more of a sense of place and a sense of tone or light or texture within the landscape. And that's kind of why I work with the multiple techniques, and doing them in camera is, for me, I think, more challenging, because I in my head I've still got to understand how I'm going to make the composition I'm seeing. It's not just a case of, well, if I, you know, take three exposures and we'll just see what comes out. I think a good example is one that I have, which is a mixture of ICM and multiple exposure with ice and grasses. I knew exactly where I wanted the ice to be in the frame and where I wanted the grass to be in the frame and so on and so forth. And it took a couple of goes to get it right, because obviously when you move the camera, things move in the frame. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's because ICM, it can just look very, you know, just, it can just look very soft and calming, can't it? You know, if you get a nice, particularly somewhere like Harris with the colours. And Harris was interesting for me, actually, because I had been there once, but we're talking over 20 years ago, and I didn't have a really vivid memory. It didn't pull me as much as I thought it would. And I don't know if that's because I've seen so much photography from there, again, you know, on social media. Obviously, the beaches are breathtakingly beautiful. The west coast of the mainland of Scotland, and actually the Isle of Mull, I love. You know, I Mull feels, I don't know, there's something about the character of Mull that just pulls me more. So I found, I was with my husband and I wasn't going to do lots of photography, but there was a day he had to do some work, so I went out with the camera. But I only actually came away with a few images that I was pleased with, and I think I've only put one of them on my website, on my portfolio, which was the only one that I felt like it truly expressed what the place felt like to me. And that was using multiple exposure again. So when I do multiple exposure or ICM, yes, I definitely have a purpose to it, if you like. There's a meaning to it. But there is quite the, yeah, there is quite a lot of it out there at the moment. As you say, it seems to be quite fashionable at the moment.
And Harris is quite fashionable as well. Of course, it is the best place to be.
Well, you know, I think as particularly in landscape photography, that combination of mountains and coast, it's a bit like trying to get woodland and coast. It's quite special and they're quite unique, and there aren't many places. Well, it's probably one of the only places. So if you want a seascape with some other landscape form, that's quite difficult to get, isn't it? Because most beaches just look out to sea and then there's nothing else in the frame. So I can see why it does call people. But yeah, when I was up there, Nigel Danson was up there doing his month, and I'd bumped into, I don't know if you know Claire Brooks, she was up there. Verity Milligan was up there.
I must have been there then. I think I had groups all month.
You did, I think,
that period, yeah.
You were busy, weren't you? Yeah.
So it was a busy time, yes. And I think now, after that really intense time, I think it's maybe why I'm just taking a bit of time to breathe a bit, you know, rather than have that really intense experience photographing and teaching. I think it's just times in life. I think we just have these times in our lives that we need to accept that sometimes it's time to rest and sometimes it's time to think. And then sometimes it's, you know, you feel ready to go and do again. So I don't think it's a bad thing.
Well, no, and I don't want creating work, photography, it's not production line. It's not like the chocolate biscuit factory, is it? Or it shouldn't, I feel like it shouldn't be that. And I know I did produce quite a lot of content in quite a short period of time in many respects, but that was right for me then. And I'm okay with, you know, taking a seat. I did go out the other morning actually, and I was walking around and there was some blossom and bluebells and things. I don't really photograph bluebells very much. It's not, or maybe I will one day, but at the minute they don't appeal to me massively. But yeah, I'm okay with having the break. I think it's important. It's good to either refine or change your direction or make sure you're happy with your direction. So you just pause for a while, and if it's right, then you'll just come back to the same thing, I think.
Yeah, I suppose the thing about creating something that's a little bit unique, when you were talking about, there's a lot of images of Harris on the internet, and I've got an exhibition I've got to get on with this exhibition and start putting everything together. I'm creating a book for it and posters and everything. So, and I haven't really done much towards it. It's been in my head, but because I've been so busy for so long, it's not kind of cropped up. And I was like, oh, it's May. I'm exhibiting in July. Really got to get on with it. So I was collating everything last night, and I decided that I wanted to, quite a long time ago, I wanted to exhibit the images that I'm taking from the water, so from in the water. So the same, yeah, so it's just a different take, because I suppose, yeah, there are a lot of the similar images now, and I'm starting to think, well, what's different? What is it I'm trying, what am I trying to do? And that's kind of my way of expressing myself differently, by doing these images that are taken from the water. And last night, as I was doing it, I was like, I got them all together and I was like, I've got 130 images, got them down to 60. And then I sent them to my friend of mine, actually. And I said, I'm looking at these images, I don't even know if they're good images or not anymore, because I've looked at them so much. And then I thought, well, and then I started to doubt myself. And then I went on this sort of spiral. I think I was just really tired, to be honest with you. I've been wallpapering all day. So I was kind of like, it was late by then. And I was pushing myself and I was thinking, actually, I don't even know if I'm a good photographer. I don't know anything anymore. Do you know what? I'm just going to go to bed instead and just leave it till tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you do as well. I do the same. When you look at your own work so much, after a while, you look at it and you think, do I still really like that? And then you think, was it just from the moment, because it was a really magical morning? And do I? Because other people see it for the first time, and then it connects with them. So I think you do still. I do still really like all the work that I've decided I liked originally. But it's definitely, you definitely do have to sit with it for a while though. You can't just like process something, decide that you really like it, and then put it on the website. I have to kind of leave it, come back to it over a couple of weeks and make sure that I still feel the same about it when the excitement of the moment has kind of passed a little bit and I can look at it a bit more reflectively. Where are you exhibiting?
Oh, Tal and Amara in Harris.
Oh, nice.
I booked it 2 years ago, knowing that I wanted to make myself shoot and produce work from this project that day. So I did it purposefully and consciously. I give myself 2 years. It's never enough, is it?
Well, it sounds like you've got a good selection of images to choose from.
I think so. Yeah. And it was just that moment of self-doubt going, well, yeah, I don't even know whether people will want to come and see this or whether the images are good or not. But I think they are. And and now that I've had a good night's sleep and I look at them again, that whole thing was born from that desire to push myself into a different way of creating and maybe pushing it more in line with me as a person again. So coming closer to who I am and representing that in my work. So maybe that's part of that process that we're both going through. Well, who am I? And because essentially our work is us, isn't it? Ourselves.
Yes.
So maybe that questioning that you're doing now, the question that I'm doing now is going to only lead us to more conscious work and more self-aware work.
Yes. I'm thinking I might pick up Sean Tucker's book, The Meaning in the Making, and read that again. I've read it before. I've got a couple of others as well, actually. And I've got, I've ordered 3 photo books, which are due to arrive soon, which is always nice to look at other people's work and reflect on other people's work. Joe Stevens' book actually is one of them. So, I think I just need to do more reading at the minute than making. I think the penny will start to drop into place, as to what I want to do next when I'm ready to do it.
That idea of re-inspiring yourself, it's something actually I've been talking with my membership group about, and I was just thinking about to record an episode on. But how do you re-inspire yourself when you have these lulls and the things, for me, podcasts and books. So taking time out to walk and listen and hear other things slightly deeper than just looking at photography. Because I think maybe we can look too much at photography and start to feel a little bit left out, left behind. Whereas if we start reading books like Sean Tucker's book, which is just incredible and always worth reading again, always worth listening to him actually, and just, listen to some of his videos or podcasts. And then maybe then we come back at it with a newfound understanding and inspiration, and we know what we're going to do. And then your work, it'll just flow more. Whereas if it's not flowing, which it isn't flowing for me either, so I'm in the same place, that all the images for the exhibition have been shot, so... But the current work is not there.
Yeah, I think you need the endorsement, don't you, to say that it's okay to be where you're at. And that's not going to come from looking at other people's photographs that make you... I don't question my own because I'm happy with my own. But yeah, I think I just need to read and absorb more. Maybe I'm in a phase where at the minute photography for me is less about making and more about learning. Actually, I think I've just summed it up. that's how helpful this talk was. I think that's what it is. I think I'm in a bit of a learning phase. I need to learn something, absorb something, reflect, and that will guide me into what I do next. Maybe we'll catch up in 9 months. You can hold me to that.
Let's see where we are in a few months' time. Massively valuable lesson for everybody, I think that is, that we don't always need to be making. At the end of the day, living and joy and breathing and being outdoors and feeling inspired is a section that we have to allow for as well. Sean says you can't you can't breathe out if you don't breathe in first. So he's very right. So I think that's the takeaway from today, isn't it? For both of us, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm definitely doing a lot of breathing in and swimming and doing the things that I need to do for a while, and then see where I am after that. So let's catch up again another time.
Yeah, that would be lovely. That would be lovely. And I'll just say now, Margaret, you'll never catch me doing photography in the water, because I can swim, but I don't like getting my head under the water or anything. So, you know, if I go in the sea, I don't go any deeper than my knees.
Well, it's the extreme cold that's the problem more than the actual immersion in the sea, because I don't go in. I tend not to swim with my cameras. I tend to stand there and dunk. And so I've got a stable base, but it's the cold that gets you. I was actually on the beach in the last shoot that I did was when we had the snow in Harris. And I met Nigel on the beach, actually, and he was photographing and I was in the water, and I was talking to him for a bit, and I said, I've really got to go because I can't feel my feet anymore. I couldn't feel most of my, it was sort of creeping up my shins at that point. So I was like walking back to the van going, I don't know what I'm walking on. But great fun. I loved it. Not everybody else would. So no, we won't make you do that, Wendy. We find your own path. Oh, it's lovely to chat with you today.
Andy,
thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.